The 99 are a relatively new group of superheroes and are the first to be based on the universal human virtues that are rooted in Islam. They are the creation of our guest, Kuwaiti-born psychologist Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa, and made their debut in comic book form a couple of years ago. Here's a clip from the very beginning of the trailer for the animated series of The 99 by media producer Endemol.
"99 stones of light and power scattered around the world. 99 powers beyond imagination. 99 young heroes, their fate not yet revealed. Together, they hold the future in their hands. Their struggle against evil stretches back through the ages."
Well, the 99 has had its share of fans and critics, both in the Muslim world and in the West. A documentary about the series and Dr. Al-Mutawa, Wham! Bam! Islam, is being broadcast on PBS in October. And Dr. Al-Mutawa joins us here in our Philadelphia studios. He's the clinical director of the SOAR Center for Psychological Counseling and Assessment in Kuwait. And nice to have you with us on Radio Times, and congratulations on the 99.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And I have to say, listening to that, the voiceover could be an American cartoon. The sound effects could be an American cartoon. The music, the storyline. Was that the goal?
The goal was to kind of use a language that people understood and to introduce themes using that conduit. The writers for the show are the same writers behind G.I. Joe and Ben 10 and Star Wars. It's U.S.-based Hollywood talent.
And were you a comic book reader as a kid growing up?
I was just a reader. I read anything I'd get my hands onto when I was a kid.
And including comic books?
Including comic books. My first comic book was a copy of the New Testament as in comic book form at camp in 1980.
Well, and we should say that, interestingly enough, you went to a Jewish camp in New Hampshire.
Yep, I did.
Sent by your parents, not knowing it was a Jewish
camp. No, the way I tell the story is that my parents made the mistake of their lifetime when they accidentally sent me to a Jewish summer camp, put me on an airplane in Kuwait, and I landed in Boston and got taken to camp and spent 10 amazing years there now, and my kids actually are there.
And they didn't know, and was this a shock to them when they found out? Or?
I think I told them way, way later, maybe 7 or 8 years into it. I was a young adult at the time, and I don't think it was as much of an issue for them. And I didn't, to be honest, I didn't really realize it until 6 or 7 years into it. I mean, what's there to realize? Just, kids having a good time, and there was no discussion of anybody's religion. It was just nice people right. Getting together.
But do you think it influenced you as a psychologist?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Some would argue that that's the reason I chose the profession of being a psychologist. I missed camp.
Oh, is that right?
No, I'm just kidding.
But there's also another strand here, and a much more serious one, I guess, which is that you have worked with survivors of political torture.
Yeah.
This was at Bellevue, right, in New York?
At Bellevue. When I graduated from college, I went back to Kuwait, and it was right after the invasion. And so I worked with former prisoners of war there. And then when I came to applying for graduate schools and clinical programs, the ones that were more attractive, were the ones that had post-traumatic stress disorder stuff because of my experience. And so I trained at Bellevue in the Survivors of Political Torture program.
And these had been tortured by their own government?
By their own governments. I speak Arabic, so the clients I saw came from the Arab world. But there are people there from all over the world. And contrary to what people like to believe, the Arab world does not have a monopoly on how not to treat others. Mm. But the story I kept hearing again and again at Bellevue was the idea of growing up idolizing your leader, only to end up being tortured by that leader or hero.
And still idolizing them,
And torture is a terrible enough thing as it is, but when your hero tortures you, that just kind of breaks you on so many levels.
So how did the 99 come into being?
It was just by chance. It was a freak accident. I was basically, I just took a break from Bellevue after my doctorate, went to business school, went to Columbia University School of Business, and then I found myself, I was 32 and didn't know what I was going to be when I grew up. I had all these degrees and just didn't know what to do. And I was actually literally in a cab going from Edgware Road to Harrods in London, and my sister turned to me and said, "Nah, you told me after school you'd go back to writing, I'd illustrate. She's actually very talented."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, I remember saying that, but I wanted her to shut up, but I couldn't say shut up because my mom was there." I mean, the idea of after all these degrees going back to writing for kids just didn't make sense for me. So I said, "Somewhat for me to go back, it's got to be something that has the potential of Pokemon, otherwise it just doesn't make sense." And that wasn't me saying, "I want to do Pokemon," or "can do," that's me saying, "just shut up." But what happened is she shut up, and then I started to free associate, as any New York trained psychologist would. I said Pokemon. My next thought was there had been a fatwa against Pokemon. And actually, it's not allowed into some Muslim countries.
Uh-huh.
My next thought was, my God, what's happened to Islam, and who's making these random decisions for my children? My next thought was of Allah and how disappointed he must be. My next thought was that Allah, or God, had 99 attributes, and ironically, it brought me full circle back to Pokemon. So when I got to Harrods, I thought, huh. I turned to my sister, I said, "What do you think of this?" She liked it. I ran into the idea. I was able to raise the capital and start, and I didn't let her draw. I gave her a small piece of the company as a thank you for asking me the right question at the right time of my life. And I just ran with it.
Wow. In this documentary, though, you also talk about the fact that you felt like Muslim children needed superheroes. That there were superheroes that you really wanted to counter with the 99.
So one of my primary goals in the 99 is to redefine Islam to Muslims, or reposition Islam to Muslims, but by so doing also reposition to the rest of the world. So my pitch to my investors was that Hollywood for years has been secularizing content that's based on biblical archetypes and creating positive storylines that the world can relate to, the universality, right? So the idea, and so my pitch to my investors is, the only people using the Quran have been the bad guys. Let me go back to the same content, pull out positive storylines, secular storylines, and create stuff that can compete for the hearts and minds of kids in my part of the world, but in a universal way. And so that was my pitch, and they supported it.
And the bad guys making martyrdom or suicide martyrs, the kind of hero of some of these stories.
Yeah, any kind of killing in the name of religion or prejudice in the name of religion, anything that where religion is used to separate among people instead of bring them together. Because there's... I mean, you wouldn't know it, but there are actually some pretty universal themes. I mean, when you talk about the 99 attributes, we're talking about things like generosity and mercy and just very positive things that no two people would disagree about.
And the 99, and I do want to play another clip from it where we get to see sort of what these young people are fighting against. But they have some interesting names that people may or may not know. Jabbar the Powerful, Samda the Invulnerable, Mumita the Destroyer, Hadia the Guide, Nura the Light.
Yes.
Each of these are an Islamic attribute or an attribute of Allah?
They're derivatives of the attributes. Because they're secular storylines and there's no religion in the content, they're derivatives. So for example, Nura, one of the 99 attributes of Allah is Al-Nur, which means the light. So Nura is the one that uses light. Or just to give you an example, like one of the 99 is Jama', who's our technology character.
Right.
When it comes to God, God is Al-Jama', which means he can, for example, assemble cells into a human being. Right? But our characters can't do that. They're not gods. So he can assemble technology and create a computer or a car or what have you.
And do these 99 characters, have they all been drawn and do they all exist?
No. Just
How many of the 99 do you have?
Just 36, around 36, 37. But the first 16 get introduced during season one of the animation.
Well, I want to play another clip, again, from this trailer that we heard. And this is where we get to hear what they're fighting for, in a sense, and who they're fighting against. Let's listen.
Sure.
Today, 5 centuries later, 99 youngsters begin to discover the stones around the world. But who will guide the 99? The forces of light?
Well done, team.
Teamwork, 99 style.
Or the forces of darkness, led by the sinister Rugal.
We could save the world, you and I.
Save it from what exactly?
From fools like your friend there, Ramsey. Always yapping about helping the poor and the weak. This world belongs to the strong. The ones who are willing to crush dissent and impose their will on the mindless masses.
That's a little harsh, don't you think?
The world is harsh, Noah. Big animals eat smaller animals. But what do I know? I've only been around 500 years. Well, who's with me?
And again, another scene from the 99. We should say that it really begins with Baghdad. Baghdad is attacked by the Mongols, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
And libraries destroyed.
So this is the whole idea of repositioning Islam to Muslims. So every leader and the leader before him, for hundreds of years, have talked about the library of Baghdad that fell at the hand of the Mongols in 1258. It's a story from history. I heard about it growing up. My kids hear about it now. And it seems like we keep going further and further away from that great moment. And so the idea there was, let me kind of use that, because this is in the mind of most Muslims. So I went back and I said, okay, that information on those books was actually saved through a special plot that the librarians came up with. And the information was moved onto 99 stones. And let people know that those books weren't just Muslim books. They were Jewish books and Christian books and Greek philosophers, because the caliph at the time had told his advisors to translate any book he can get his hands onto, and he'd give them its weight in gold. So the idea is that it's universal culture that actually ends up powering the stones that power the 99 characters. And those stones, then, when the library falls and the books get thrown in the river, the stones are dipped into the river, the information is taken, they're smuggled to Andalusia in Spain, and they're safe there for 200 years. But in 1492... two important things happen. The first is the Grenada falls. Yeah. The second is Columbus gets lost and finds this place, right? So the idea is that 33 of the stones are smuggled onto the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and are spread in the New World. 33 are spread on the Silk Road to China, South Asia, and Southeast Asia, and 33 are spread between Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. And now it's 2011,
right?
And we have 99 heroes from 99 different countries. And the way we address issues of multiculturalism and tolerance, it's not about what country you're from or what religion you have, because those things aren't discussed. What it is what power you have, and is it beneficial to solve the problem at hand? And that's how they have to navigate their differences.
And you've got a good bad guy, Rugal.
Yes.
So where does Rugal come from?
So a couple of things. A lot of the themes of the Arab Spring have been part of our storylines for 4 years. Our main bad guy is 500 years old and won't let go of power.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sounds
familiar.
The characters are young, and the younger they are, the more power they can get from their stones. And there's actually stuff in the comic books and in the series where at one point Rugal explains, he said, you know, I was able to take the Jabbar stone away from Jabbar when he was a Mexican character 500 years ago, when he was South African 200 years ago, because there was no internet. The 99 couldn't find each other, but now they can, and it's tougher for him to be able to do that. So Rugal is named for a character called Abu Rugal. Abu Rugal led King Abraha's army to attack the Kaaba, the holiest place in Islam, during the year of the elephant, the year the Prophet, peace be upon him, was born. And according to the Quran, God sent birds with stones that stopped the elephants in their tracks. So Rugal, for me, is representational of extremism in all forms, okay? Fascism in all forms. So when initially, he actually gets some of the 99 to work for him. The idea of kind of being able to manipulate little kids, showing them that you're the good guy kind of thing. And so when they do work for him in the beginning, he makes them wear cookie-cutter gray uniforms. He makes sure that their stones don't get updated with new information. Right? He controls them. But when they're able to move over to the other side, each one of them has a uniform that's expressed in multicolors based on their own culture. So they're individuals, but they also work as a group.
Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about the 99. These are superheroes based on the attributes of Allah, the brain children of our guest, Kuwaiti-born psychologist Naif al-Mutawa. And there's a theme park in Kuwait based on the 99. There's an animated feature film, 99 Unbound, that's debuting at the New York Film Festival in October, and a documentary called Wham Bam Islam. And it's being shown tonight here at WHYY and will air on TV 12 on October 13th. We are talking about Islam and superheroes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Christiana Care Health System's Center for Heart and Vascular Health supports WHYY. Studies show experience makes a difference in patient outcomes. Recognized by the Society of Thoracic Surgeons, Christiana Care cardiovascular surgeons perform more than 800 open heart procedures each year. And the team of heart specialists treats more than 8,000 total heart and vascular patients annually. Christiana Care, with locations in Pennsylvania and Delaware. More online at christianacare.org/heartleaders.
You asked for it. We listened. WHYY-FM is trying something new. YStream, pledge-free streaming radio. Listen without membership breaks on your desktop, laptop, iPhone, or iPad. Visit WHYY.org by October 12th, make a $60 pledge, and enjoy WHYY-FM without membership breaks during our entire October fundraising campaign. For more information on YStream, WHYY's new pledge-free stream, visit WHYY.org.
At the heart of everything we do at WHYY is one thing, storytelling. We try to inform, engage, inspire, and connect through deep, colorful stories. And NewsWorks Tonight brings together the best reporting from our network of journalists in one smart, lively regional news magazine. Weeknights at 6 on WHYY-FM. or listen online at whyy.org and newsworks.org. There's also the podcast, and you can follow Newsworks Tonight on Twitter and Facebook. And that's the story.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. The 99 are a new breed of superheroes dreamed up by our guest, Kuwaiti-born psychologist Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa. And they're based on universal human values exemplified by Allah, rooted in Islamic history and culture. The 99 are Al-Mutawa's attempt to provide Muslim children like his own with better heroes than suicide bombers. And that's what we're talking about today on Radio Times. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. I have to say, as I was reading through the comics that I have here, I was thinking of the Danish cartoon controversy. And here on this cover, we have some very attractive, I would say sexy-looking young women, girls, on the cover here. Is that controversial? Did that get you in trouble?
Well, it depends. See, my idea with the 99 was that to be representative of everybody. So this is not about, and that's the only philosophy I'm pushing. So, for example, in my own family, my mother does not cover her hair. My sister does. I have extended family that actually wears the burqa. So the idea here is it's about representation. And the burqa is a perfect example. I'm somebody who does not believe, I actually oppose vehemently anybody who says that the burqa is part of Islam. It's not. It's part of Arab culture that predates Islam. But out of courtesy, out of respect for people who believe it's part of their lifestyle, I made sure that at least 1/99th right. or 1% of the characters, she's a hero, she's equal to them, and yet this is what she right. wears for clothing.
And her name is Batina the Hidden.
Batina the Hidden, yep.
Batina the Hidden. Yep. I mean, hidden behind a burqa.
Because one of the 99 attributes of Allah is al-Batin, which means the hidden, because you don't see him. Right, and so she's her superhero ability. She's able to hide them in times they need to be hidden when the bad guys are around and they're going to be seen, kind of thing.
Now, this series has their fans clearly, and critics, both critics in the Muslim world and also critics in the West. What have you been up against in the Muslim world?
So initially, when I started, all kinds of conspiracy theories, like the Pope sent me, because the 99 work in teams of three, so the Pope must have sent me to preach Catholicism in the Trinity.
Like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Exactly, kind of exactly. Or stuff like I'm somehow personifying God, and therefore this is something that should be stopped. My mom teaches philosophy, or taught before she retired, and I went to her and I said, Mom, I have good news and I have bad news. And she said, Well, what's the good news? I said, Well, the good news is I'm being compared to X, Y, and Z, all of whom are kind of big Arab intellectuals. And she was very proud, as only a mother philosopher could be, big smile. And she said, What on earth could be the bad news? I said, I haven't told you who's making the comparisons, Ma.
Oh.
And that's when she frowned. She knew exactly what I was talking about. It wasn't necessarily a compliment that I was being compared to them. So I had a lot of resistance. And the way I dealt with that is when we did our second round of finance, we took money from an Islamic investment bank. And so what that meant is it's that kind of, saying this food is kosher and therefore mm-hmm. it's okay for Jews to eat it. Saying this thing is Sharia compliant, the big scary S word here to some people in the States, which basically is the equivalent, just means it's okay. It doesn't mean it's for Muslims. It means that Muslims can watch this too. And that helped us ease a lot of the tensions there, but ironically created some tensions here in America.
Well, and I want to get to that, but I want to understand the tensions then in the Muslim world. Was it that the idea of a comic book by itself or the use of these attributes?
It was all of it. Because, the idea here is whenever something new gets introduced to your body, it doesn't matter if it's good for you or bad for you, the white blood cells come and attack. Well, there are some people in all societies who are the white blood cells of society and will come attack anything new, right? If they don't get it, then it shouldn't exist.
Right.
And so it was on all kinds of levels. A, that it was a comic book. B, that there were I have a cousin who's actually very observant. Let's say actually, and in Wham Bam, I don't know if this made it into the film, but the filmmaker Isaac interviewed him, and he would only speak from behind the screen because he didn't want to be seen, because it's for him, be seen on film is not against the religion. And he called me early on and said, Naif, I like this idea of the nine, it's fantastic, but you shouldn't really be drawing human form, and that's against it. So how about the characters that become like bananas or pencils? So I said, Abdullah, you're not my target segment. Don't buy it. Go away.
Who is your target segment?
My target segment is anybody who likes Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. It's just kids who are looking for good storylines, parents who are looking for alternative role models for their kids. And these are just they're not just for Muslim, they're just for global kids. We took a lot of time and effort to kind of find the right writers. I mean, Stan Berkowitz, who's from Batman Beyond, is the series editor. The writers are all based in Hollywood. The production is in 3D CGI. It's really top-tier stuff.
It is, though, has had a hard time finding a place in Saudi Arabia, for instance.
Initially. We were banned and unbanned and rebanned, now we're kind of banned. Now we're allowed in English, but only some issues in Arabic. But ironically, you know, we started out having problems in Saudi, so we looked out to America, right? And, you know, sold the series to a U.S. broadcaster. And then because of resistance that happened here, the irony is it's actually going to show up on Saudi TV, right? Before it shows up on American TV. And the real question is like, huh? You know, I grew up with this thing that, you know, the extremism is in your part of the world. This is in your part of the world. Well, guess what? It's not just, it's in all parts of the world. And this is really something that needs to be redefined. But America, I think, is the only place in the world where something like this can happen and you can publicly talk about it and it can go on PBS as a documentary. So there's that.
Right.
There's that. Yeah.
Well, what it has been the resistance in this country.
Where
does that come from?
It just comes from people who want to misunderstand.
Misunderstand Islam?
Yeah, want to misunderstand anything. So we have a saying in Arabic that when you're bitten by a snake, you become afraid of rope. And there's no denying that terrible things have happened in the name of my religion, as they've happened in the names of most religions, if not all religions. And so it's easy to kind of just throw out the baby with the bathwater. Because why take the effort to understand? We came against resistances from people who just said, okay, I mean, he's. It didn't matter that the writers were for, you know, Jewish and Hindu and whatever. It didn't matter that the production was, you know, co-produced by Endemol in the UK and it's a top tier animation series that world leaders have stood by and, you know, great awards from the UN. That didn't matter. What mattered was that I was Muslim and therefore I must have a radical agenda.
So where does the series stand today? Is it going to show up on American TV?
I hope so. I mean, it's been bought and paid for, and we're just, you know, we're waiting for an air date, and I'm optimistic it'll come. I mean, the broadcaster is also in a very tenuous situation that they find themselves in the middle of kind of, you know, people making accusations. But for us, it's kind of become like, to the point that, hey, you know, this is, you know, people seeing the animation is going to be the equivalent of people seeing President Obama's birth certificate. Right, some people still believe it's not real and fabricated, but that because, you know, if, you know, we're told that this is going to radicalize young kids and we're going to turn jihadis by, I mean, just the people, it's the people who love hearing the sound of their voice saying Obama rhymes with Osama, haha. Mm-hmm. You know, it's those guys.
Let me just quickly reintroduce you. On talking today on Radio Times with psychologist Naif Al-Mutawa, and we are talking about a series of a breed of superheroes that he dreamed up a couple of years ago called the 99. They have been comic books, and I have several of them here, also turned into a series on TV, and he is featured in a documentary, Wham Bam Islam, I guess I can say. It seems funny to say that.
That's how we say it in Arabic, Islam.
I know, sounds funny coming out of my mouth. That's tonight at 6:30 here at WHYY. It's also going to air on WHYY TV 12 on Thursday, October 13th. You can also give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. It is interesting, though, to think of where Superman came from. And these were Jewish cartoonists, and this was before the Second World War, the rise of fascism, and they created these superheroes. Do you see parallels between what you're doing and what they did?
What I told my investors was this. I said superheroes today, this is back in 2003, are based on Judeo-Christian archetypes. So like the prophets, all the superheroes are missing parents. Batman's parents die when he's six. Superman's die in Krypton. Spider-Man's raised by his aunt and uncle. And all of them, like the prophets, have a message delivered from above through a messenger. The prophets get it from God through Gabriel, but Peter Parker's taking that photograph when the spider descends from above and gives him his message through a bite. It's a metaphor for Gabriel coming down. Superman's not only sent from another planet to Earth, or the heavens, but he's sent in a basket or a space pod like Moses was to new parents. And you hear the voice of his father saying to Earth, I have sent to you my only son. That's God in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But the storylines are secular. They're not meant to proselytize or to convert people to Christianity. They're just basic human values that Christians share with the rest of the world, irrespective of your religion. And so that I took that formula and applied it to my religion to create positive role models that are secular but identifiable, so the bad guys in my part of the world can't say, this is coming in from the West. But the irony is the guys from your part of the world saying, this is coming in from the East. And so it's like, okay.
Yeah, well, this is the world
this
that
is
we
the world.
Live in.
Yeah.
We need some superheroes.
Yeah.
But interestingly, that the 99 teamed up with the Justice League of America not so long ago, right?
Yes, yes. Very proud of that.
And what happened?
So basically, the story there is that when it was rumored that President Obama was going to be talking from one of the Muslim countries, no one knew where or when. This is early Jan 09. I went to DC Comics and I had a great relationship. I still have a great relationship with him. He's no longer the president, but Paul Levitz. And I said, listen, Paul, on Inauguration Day, Marvel pulled a fast one, put President Obama on the cover of Spider-Man, and it sold 300,000 copies. I said, but you guys have the opportunity to implement President Obama's vision through the fictional world. And I sold them the idea. They loved it. And so after President Obama spoke in Cairo, we announced the series crossover. In the storylines, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and the other members of the Justice League are standing cape to shoulder with my characters. And the story start out with distrust from both sides. In fact, right. Superman punches Jabbar in issue one. But then they figure out that it's the bad guys from both universes that are causing the distrust. And the storylines move over to trust.
Well, I want to play another clip, and this is actually at a presidential summit on entrepreneurship more than a year ago, April 26, 2010. And this is President Obama talking about efforts to deepen ties between business leaders and foundations and entrepreneurs in the U.S. and in Muslim communities around the world. And here he is singling you out and the 99 as one of the especially innovative cross-cultural initiatives. Let's listen.
Over the past year, the United States has been reaching out and listening. We've joined interfaith dialogues and held town halls, roundtables, and listening sessions with thousands of people around the world, including many of you. And like so many people, you've extended your hand in return, each in your own way, as entrepreneurs and educators, as leaders of faith and of science. I have to say, perhaps the most innovative response was from Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa of Kuwait, who joins us here tonight. Where is Dr. Mutawa? Right here. His comic books have captured the imagination of so many young people with superheroes who embody the teachings and tolerance of Islam. After my speech in Cairo, he had a similar idea. So in his comic books, Superman and Batman reached out to their Muslim counterparts. And I hear they're making progress, too. Absolutely.
So do you think these comic book characters have made more progress than they, you know, than their real life counterparts?
I mean, history will tell. But I hope it's politics are ebb and flow, and and in times of economic downturn, it's always kind of the extremist voices that are heard the loudest because people want to believe that there must be an easy fix.
I'm curious though how this idea that you dreamed up in a cab in London. Yeah. Became this series and now a theme park and a series of comic books as well. I know you have a business background, but how do you get money for something like this, for instance?
You know, I've raised quite a bit of money for this, but I just don't give up. I mean, my last round of financing came from Dubai. It came from Abraj Capital, and the CEO, they turned me down in 2004. They turned me down in 2007. And I literally had the good fortune of receiving a couple of awards from the World Economic Forum, and so I get to go to Davos for free, for example. So I went up to the CEO and I said Adif, because I've gotten to know him. He said no to me so many times. I said
he didn't run and hide from you.
No,
right?
No. I said Adif, I heard you came here on a private airplane. Is that right? And he said yeah. And I said this may be inappropriate, but can you take me home with you? And he said, you don't live in Dubai. I said, I'll figure it out. Kuwait's only an hour away. And he took me. And I was there with his team. He had nowhere to go without a parachute. And I pitched him for 8 hours. Almost, I got a couple hours in, and then they had to sleep. But they end up financing us. So I don't give up.
Well, and that's, you think, one of the keys, which is just to be stubborn, relentless, creative, dogged?
I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. First and foremost, I believe if you tell a kid enough times that they're stupid, they're going to start believing they're stupid. And if you tell them enough times they're a terrorist, they're going to start believing that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the media not only is able to reflect reality, I think the media can create reality. And I think it's time for kids to be able to identify with positives, and that can change an entire generation.
Well, in this documentary, you also talk about seeing, I guess it was a sticker book from the Intifada.
Yeah.
And that was another reason for your creation of the 99. What was that sticker book about?
So basically, there's an entrepreneur who was giving away free sticker books and then selling stickers of suicide bombers as heroes to these kids. And it bragging about the millions that he sold and stuff like that. And so for me, I thought it's a nightmare, because stuff coming in from outside is dismissed as Western. Stuff from inside cannot compete with this because you have to have something that's on par with the Western stuff, yet rooted in your culture, to be able to kind of break through and to these kids. And to do that, you need the support of the Western markets, mm-hmm. because our local markets can't support an animation of the quality that we've created. And so you're kind of in this situation where the solution through media is something top tier, but you need to have a global product and have it on screen in the US and in Europe for it to actually be able to feed back. Because then if you have to give it away for free in Afghanistan, then you do it.
Oh. But I know also in this documentary, there's a some young kids holding up the 99, and you're saying, this is great, you know, kids are reading this stuff, but they had all been photocopied, they've been photocopied, so that you weren't actually making any money.
We didn't make a dime of revenue from those, yeah.
but do you think it changes, do you think cartoon characters can change a child's mind?
I think it can be influential. One of the hats I wear is I lecture at the medical school in Kuwait University. And so there's a lecture I give every year in February where I give them articles from New York Times and New York Magazine. I take away the name of the writer. I take away the name of the city. Everything's gone except the facts. The first article is about a group called the Party of God who wants to ban Valentine's Day because Valentine's Christian. Red is made illegal. Boys and girls caught flirting get married off immediately. The second one is about a woman complaining because six bearded men came and interrogated her on the street for talking to a man who wasn't related to her. And I asked the students where they thought these took place. The first one, they said India. Sorry, they said Saudi. There was no debate. Right. The second one, they were split between Saudi and Afghanistan. What blew their mind is the first one took place in India. It was the party of a Hindu god. It had nothing to do with Islam. Mm-hmm. The second one was in New York State. It was an Orthodox Jewish community. But what's dangerous, first of all, both groups, the Indians in India and the Jews in New York, both handled it the way insultingly to me, but very positively, because they both said, this is Talibanization. So this, in other words, what they're saying, this is Islam's influence on Judaism and Hindus, because Hindus and Jews don't act this way. But my students in Kuwait said it's us. They said it's Saudis. So when a group starts to self-identify as extreme, you're going to have a bigger problem in the next generation than you have with this one. And so the idea is, how do you get in there and influence them through mass media? And so my result was the 99.
But I'm just curious from your perspective, why you think these images of martyrs and suicide bombers, why is that so attractive to so many young people?
I mean, I'll try to answer that question. I won't avoid it, though it's tempting to do. This is what I think. I think, you know, when somebody is in a situation where they're brainwashed into believing that there's nothing else here, and the thinking is about just, you know, being told lies about what can happen if you did this, and we'll take care of your family, and you're going to go to heaven, and stuff like that, then it may be a good sell for some people. That being said, you know, a couple of years ago, a couple of suicide bombers were stopped before the suicide went off. The belts went off in Iraq, and both of them were I believe they were Down syndrome kids. And so the question becomes is kind of like, I mean, there's a whole economy there with people financing kind of, you know, these kids are good for nothing. They'll go to heaven. Why don't you just kind of, you know, donate them to? But this is just nutty stuff. And what I keep getting insulted when I'm insulted by both Muslims and non-Muslims when it gets tied to my religion, because that's not my religion.
Well, let's take another short break, and I do want to get some callers in on the conversation. Again, talking with psychologist Naif Al-Mutawa. He's also the creator of The 99, and these are superheroes that are based on the values exemplified by Allah, rooted in Islamic history and culture. And we're going to take a very short break, and we'd love to hear from you what you think about this comic book idea. 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Call us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Lancaster City Arts is proud to support WHYY. Lancaster City Arts, 125 art venues, all within one walkable community. From galleries, art studios, museums, and an art college, to music, poetry, dance, photography, professional theater, and symphony, it's an opportunity to experience something different in an art scene that's quite unexpected itself. Lancaster City Arts. The journey starts online at lancasterarts.com.
When comedy writer Will Reiser had cancer, he and his friend Seth Rogen amused themselves with ideas for ridiculous cancer comedies.
We wanted to do like a parody of The Bucket List, where you do like really absurd, ridiculous things like, you know, skydiving with hookers.
Reiser did write a cancer comedy, 50-50. Reiser and the film star Joseph Gordon-Levitt on the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Can the government attach a GPS tracking device to a car without first obtaining a warrant? Just one of the cases on the Supreme Court docket for the coming term. We'll have a preview. Also, choral music beyond glee. Public Radio's daily digest of news and culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We are talking about Islam and superheroes. And the 99 are superheroes based on the attributes of Allah. And they are the creation of our guest, Kuwaiti-born psychologist Naif Al-Mutawa. There's a theme park based on these characters in Kuwait. There's a new animated feature film called 99 Unbound. In fact, it's debuting at the New York Film Festival in October. There's also a documentary about the 99 and our guest called Wham Bam Islam. And it's being shown tonight here at WHYY and will air on PBS in October, including on October 13th on TV12. 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me get Catherine from Wayne to join our conversation. And Catherine, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm really enjoying this. And I'm parent. And I'm just starved for positive role models for my kids. So my question is, when it says these superheroes will be based on the values of Allah, what can you be a little more definitive in saying what those values are, aside from, which I think is great, teaching religious tolerance? I think that's fabulous. But what other values? Are you going to teach them morality? Are you going to teach them not to steal? What are you going to teach them?
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you so much. Great question. So basically, it's the main themes in the series is about promoting multiculturalism and tolerance. And one of the things I borrow from the Cosby Show is the Cosby Show pretty much redefined how African Americans are seen by both African Americans and non-African Americans in America. And so thinking there was, how do I approach things? And they never spoke about race in the Cosby Show. So I wanted to kind of approach these things without talking about religion, just using secular storylines. So the important thing for us in our series is about tolerance, multiculturalism, accepting people's differences and diversity. And the way we do that is it never matters what country you're from as a character or what color of your skin or if you're a boy or girl. What matters is the power you have and whether or not it's relevant to solving the problem that's actually there that they have to solve right now. Because only three of them can work together to solve the problem. And so in terms of do not steal, that does come across, but we never kind of speak at the kids. It's more kind of they learn it, the bad guys do the stealing and they get caught for doing it kind of thing.
But we're talking about 99 attributes of Allah.
Of Allah, yeah. Yes. So they're derivative. So there's things like generosity and foresight and strength and wisdom. But there's also the yin and the yang. There's also the powerful, the hegemonous, the strong. So there's also the merciful. So what we do is because they work in teams of three, they're able to be averaged out. Right, so for example, the one that our fighting member of the 99, the one that actually throws the punches, is actually a girl, and her name is Mumita, and she's from Portugal. And what we do is she, for example, sometimes we'll team her up with the merciful character or the character that represents love to kind of average her out, because you can't really to be attractive to kids who want to watch Superman and Batman. You can't have them all be merciful and kind of sweet. You need that kind of edge, but you can average it out.
Is there something controversial about a female character as a fighter? She asked.
She's asking. To some, I'm sure. I've gotten all kinds of questions about the clothing of the 99 on all ends. Some people are not happy that some of them are too modest, and some people are not happy that on the other side of the spectrum. So, I get it from everyone. But the thing is, my answer is always they're representational. So we have a character that represents that. We also have a character that represents love, who's a female. So identify with who you want to identify with.
Back in this documentary, at the very beginning, you're in Indonesia and you're in a car and someone says, "Oh, I'm going to take you to this." And I think these are the words he used, a right-wing Muslim magazine to go and talk. We see the very beginning. We see pictures of what is it, Al Qaeda?
Yeah, that was not fun.
No, but now why did you go there and what did you say to
them? So to me, right-wing Muslim kind of thing, I didn't expect to go to a place where that had pictures of Bin Laden up on the wall. That was the last thing. Actually, my heart sunk I was actually angry because I turned to the publisher and I said, "You said this place was conservative." He said, "Yes." I said, "I'm not quite sure that's the adjective I would have used."
Right.
And he thought I was going to leave, and I didn't. Basically, the way I approached it is, they brought in three guys who are the religious scholars who wanted to debate me. And so I basically threw them a bone. I said to them, I remember growing up that God created heaven, was it three levels, four levels, knowing that the answer was seven. So one of them said, seven. And he quoted the Quran. The other guy quoted the Prophet, peace be upon him, saying, and then I sat back in my seat and I said, you can have the seventh level all to yourself. Let the rest of us compete for the other six. You don't need an A plus to graduate from school, and you don't need an A plus to graduate to heaven. And so, you know, the conversation was actually very, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. I mean, we were there for a while. But in the end, they reviewed us positively.
Did they really?
They did. But if I had been told this is the kind of publication, I would not have gone to begin with. So it's you know, I mean, because I always think back, I was like, okay, I'm trying to change things for the kids of the world, but I also want to be around for my own kids. So it's a balance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you feel like your work is dangerous? Have you had threats, for instance?
Let's just say if I did, I wouldn't give them the credit or the right. or the amplification of talking about it. But I've been, I've felt safe traveling. I travel into, you know, all kinds of places. I mean, there's some rules. Like there are some countries my wife won't let me go into, but besides that, it's been fine.
At the beginning of the documentary, you're in a classroom with some kids, you know, talking about the 99. And at one point, I think you say to one of the kids, well, how old do you think I am? Yeah. And he says 60.
He said 60.
And yeah. You are how old?
My reply to him was that I'm 99. I just turned 40 this year, but I was 36 right. at the time. So.
Out of the mouth of babes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Let me get Mohammed from Philadelphia to join our conversation. Mohammed, go ahead. You're on the air. That would be number five, yes? Mohammed, go ahead. You're on the air. Do we have him? We don't have him.
Hello?
Yeah, Mohammed, is that you?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to congratulate the doctor, but I want to ask him, I do a lot of, psychoanalysis, and it seems to me that the comic story of the 99 names reflect his own understanding of Islam rather than the universal understanding of Islam.
That's an essay.
Yes, it
that's,
is.
That's an excellent point, and don't forget that Freud quoted Rumi in his writings when it came to coming up with the psychoanalysis. Yeah, you're right. It is my understanding. I mean, in the end, they say that the whole is more than the sum of its parts, right? The Gestalters say that, and I'm the sum of my parts were growing up an Arab Muslim in Kuwait, going to a Jewish summer camp, you know, going to college in the States, going back to work in Kuwait, and trying to make sense of East and West. My boys are all born in New York. They're all American citizens. And every time I come through customs, I explain to the officer that they're all born in New York by accident, to which I always get a smile. So,
Mohammed, thanks for the call to Radio Times. But also this Muslim magazine that we were talking about, one of the men says to you, you can't rewrite Islam.
Yeah.
I mean, in the sense saying you can't do this to our religion.
But that's the point. Everybody projects onto the project what they think it is,
yes.
Right? And so, you know, to him, I was rewriting Islam. To others, I'm trying to radicalize kids with Islam. I mean, everybody kind of throws in what they. But for me, this project is not about rewriting religion. It's basically taking those themes in the Quran that I, according to Muhammad, the caller, which I agree with, that I think are universal and based on my experiences and are worthy of transmission, things like multiculturalism and tolerance and accepting people's differences and working together and stuff like that, and packaging them through the comic book series. So, you know, the interesting thing for us is that we got the New York Times covered us in the middle of the Danish cartoon controversy in 2006, just serendipitous. And that's what led to people, when they Googled Islam and cartoon and tried to figure out what's going on in the world, they got us.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Which led to like 5 years of just amazing coverage, and so, but because we came out of, you know, we were the superheroes flying in the face of what was happening in the Muslim world, what happened is people kept tying us to Islam wherever they could. When I'm always saying we're superheroes inspired by Islam because I'm Muslim and I'm the creator of this series. And so obviously what's going to inform the series is my understandings. But I'm also kind of, I didn't, you know, I actually appreciated electricity as a kid. I didn't grow up in a cave. I didn't stone anybody or any of this. And I'm not trying to promote Sharia law. But according to the websites, because I'm Muslim, I'm born a liar. And so therefore, I'm lying to you right now. But that's a different story.
That is a different story. Mohammed, thanks for the call. Let's see what Jalin from Washington, D.C. has to say. And go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi, I saw a presentation of the 99 at TED.
Oh.
And I loved what I have seen. And I'm working with some conciliation boards and people around the world. And I'm a global photographer, which has gotten me into this. And I've seen so many young men, especially, have been influenced by bad movies, especially coming out of the Western world, and trying to live up to images that are not positive images here, let alone exporting them to other countries. And it is so refreshing to see positive images, and it's kind of an interesting irony that you are creating a new reality through animation. And if people can envision themselves and rid themselves of fear, and it can be done through this medium, I applaud you. And I would love to see others follow suit and many more movies that are entertaining and engaging with positive messages, because people are going to hear the message. They should be positive messages as much as possible. Thank you.
Thank you for calling into Radio Times.
Thank you very much. No, thank you very much. Speaking at TED was amazing for us. I actually got to speak at TED again this year to just give an update on the talk and talked about kind of what happened when the 99 came to America and the pushbacks that are happening here. But I believe that the more positive role models there are, the more tomorrow can be different. And America has an amazing machine that can do that. They get people to watch Dexter, who's a serial killer, right?
Yes, he is.
And people identify with him, and we forgive him on his behavior because we connect with him on some level, right? So if you can do that with a serial killer, surely. I mean, surely there. You know, we can have positive values where the main character and not the guy blowing things up as Muslim.
You talked about the Cosby Show, Dexter. Sounds like you watch a lot of American TV.
Do you? I do. I a lot more in the past than I do now. But now it's more. I download from iTunes. But yeah, I watch a lot of TV.
It's okay. We all watch TV.
Yeah.
You're also a psychologist, and I'm just curious about the kind of work that you do in Kuwait, clinical director of the SOAR Center for Psychological Counseling and Assessment.
Sure. So I started the SOAR Centers. It was a labor of love. I started 3 years ago because I'm licensed in New York State to practice. Right. And for me, I chose 8 years ago when I started the 99 is that, you know, as a psychologist, I was reaching one person an hour. But through writing in mass media, I can reach a million a minute. And so the question, so for me, it was a simple kind of decision. Like, I'm going to use my psychology to redefine Muslim to Muslims and Islam to Muslims and work on the perception of how Islam sees itself. My mentor, who actually passed away in the process, is somebody who has been very upset because the laws in Kuwait allow anybody to open a clinic if you have a bachelor's in psychology in 7 years since you've had the bachelor's. You don't even have to have experience.
Wow.
And it's the Ministry of Commerce, not the Ministry of Health, that takes care of that. And so I went to him 3 years ago and I said, I can help you change psychology in Kuwait. But it's not going to be through the governments or waiting for laws to change. Just build the best one in Kuwait, and the others will be forced to go out of business or change. And so we launched it. We now have 24 therapists there. He unfortunately passed away before it opened, but it's been doing extremely well. And because I'm licensed in New York State, I'm able to sign off on hours for people who are trying to get their master's degrees in the U.S. And so we just graduated our fourth person this year in 2 years. Texas Board of Examiners approved our center as well as Lehigh University and others. And so. But that's more of kind of a service for my country, because my time is with the 99.
Yeah. Were you trained in Freudian or?
They tried.
You resisted.
I was in New York. They tried. Yeah, but yeah, I'm very psychodynamic in my thinking and in my training.
And that must help thinking about the 99 and storytelling,
yes.
Right? And
yes.
Characters,
of course.
And
of
good
course.
And evil and all that. Yeah. Let me get. Looks like Will from New Jersey to join our conversation. And Will, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Thank you. I love what you're doing. My
Thank
question
you.
Is, there's been so many negative portrayals of Jews in the Arab media, and I wonder if you have any positive portrayals of Jews in your publications or movie.
Thanks, Will. Yes, go
Thank
ahead.
You. Let me ask you answer that question in a couple ways. Number one, there will never be any negative portrayal of Jews or anybody else in the series. We don't talk about anybody's religion whatsoever, so we wouldn't know. You know, my main writer on the Hollywood series is Stan Berkowitz, and he's not Italian, from what I understand. So I openly talk about the fact that the stones that the 99 get their powers from include Jewish books and Christian books and Muslim books. I openly talk about the fact that we have Jewish writers in the series. One of my mentors, and I'm not going to name drop, but it's just a big Jewish Hollywood name, who you would know the minute I said the first name. So the thing is, for me, like, it's been a very positive thing in my life. But I can't tell you, for example, that, you know, we'll have an episode that says, you know, be nicer to Jews. We're just not going to discuss anybody's religion. It shouldn't matter. That's not how I believe anybody should be judged on the basis of.
Well, thanks for calling into Radio Times. I know there's a theme park in Kuwait,
yes.
Based on the 99.
Yes. So that was a license a couple of years ago. The good thing about that theme park is Kuwait's not a place anybody go for tourism. So people can imagine like it's this big Disneyland kind of thing. But it's actually big in size, but it was actually an existing amusement park that we were able to retheme. Because the owners wanted it to be themed, and their attendance went up 100%, so we're excited about that for them. And we make a small piece of that because we're a licensor. But it's in the part I'm excited about, because at the end, I love ideas, is that it's in the most conservative place in Kuwait, where pretty much most of the population wears burqas. It's a few miles south of Iraq, a place called Jahra. And the theme park has up on the wall superheroes from America and Europe and India and Pakistan and the Philippines, from everywhere. And so kids may be learning one thing outside, but come and play in this place. And we're around 400,000 people come through a year. So it's not Disneyland, but Kuwait only has a couple million people. So kids see people equal up there on the wall. So they learn vicariously about tolerance.
And if I wanted a 99 lunchbox, could I get one?
You can get them in Spain and Turkey because those two countries companies there have bought licenses for them. But, we're hopefully going to be in more places when the animation comes out.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times. And our guest has been Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa, and he is the creator of The 99. And we've been talking about how these characters came into being based on some of the human values exemplified by Allah, rooted in Islamic history and culture. And if you want to see a documentary about Dr. Al-Mutawa and the creation of The 99, you can come to WHYY tonight at 6:30 to see Wham Bam Islam, and the filmmaker Isaac Solitaroff will be there along with our guests. Also, you can watch it on TV12 Thursday, October 13th, and The 99 Unbound, the first feature film based on the comic books, will premiere at the New York Film Festival on Sunday, October 2nd. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program. In fact, if you go to our Facebook page, you can see what our guest looks like. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. The show is produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty Leswing, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Builder. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us.